listening to TBR Radio, brought to you by the Bard's Review. Now, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And before I start today's show, I want to thank Eric for his recent donation. And it's quite funny, really, because my guest is called Eric also. He is, of course, Dr. Eric Karlstrom, and I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Excellent.
Alive and live.
Yeah, that's it. Funnily enough, folks, we're recording this, you know, generally I've got a 2-week window before I air, but this is actually being recorded on September the 6th, and I'm airing it on September the 11th, because it is a September the 11th special. As regular listeners to Eric on my show will know, he's an expert on a variety of topics, and he's got a variety of websites that give details of those topics, and we've been focusing mainly on the gang stalking issue. But Eric's also got a website devoted to his research into 9/11. And so I'm going to hand over to Eric now to first tell us where they can find that website, the address, etc., and kick us off with what you want to talk about regarding this issue, Eric.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. It's always a pleasure to be talking to you on these issues, because we can move widely and freely and speak the truth. I taught university geography for 30 years, and mainly physical geography, which is earth science, but also the last 20 years of my teaching career, I taught a course in human ecology, which is basic environmental issues, and then, of course, very, very open-ended. So in the context of that course, I just, you know, always changing books and always adding my own lecture notes, and I did a week on terrorism and war. This was back in the 90s. And that's on my 911nwo.com website, which, of course, 9/11 and New World Order, which I started putting together, you know, shortly after September 11th. In 2002, I wrote a extended article called Reflections on the Origins of 9/11, Three Scenarios. And it was, you know, 50 or 60 pages. And that's also on my website. And at the time, maybe many of your listeners will remember, there was, you know, the nation and the world was in shock from what had occurred. And people were groping for explanations and trying to understand. And there was a lot of fear in the land. We were told all kinds of things by our government. And myself, I was a professor at a California university, and I decided that this is a matter of great public concern. And since I, you know, had some background in this area, I put this website together. And out of that website, and then another one is naturalclimatechange.org, which has to do with the global warming fraud. We're going to be talking a lot about frauds today. 9/11, of course, is a gigantic fraud. It's a, you know, multi-trillion-dollar heist fraud, which is the, you know, trigger event and the basis for the multi-trillion-dollar war on terror fraud, which now pretty much drives, in some ways, the American ideology and economy, and certainly all these wars in the Middle East, and certainly this draconian police state that we've been talking about in the context of global organized gang stalking. So all these things are very related. This is, you know, a world takedown program. 9/11, of course, was a coup and an overthrow, although we've had a succession of overthrows, as I'm sure you know, Andy. I mean, the Kennedy assassination also, with the same basic principle. Powers doing the overthrowing. And then, of course, we can go back to the 1913 signing of the Federal Reserve Act. These are banker overthrows. These are international banker overthrows, the kind of thing that you've been writing about in your book, Synagogue of Satan. You know, it does come back to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. It comes back to the Illuminati power elite that controls the intelligence agencies. The intelligence agencies create these lies and these terror events in order to, you know, really terrorize the public into submission. So, you know, these are these are, you know, playing out scripts really that have been tried and true. And we can talk about, you know, the series of events that leads up to 9/11. But I'm going to basically focus on two main threads. I'd like to focus on two main threads. Number one, the Israel connection, the Jewish connection, which is, you know, fingerprints all over 9/11. We can talk about the names. We can talk about the history of that. And then, of course, also the U.S. government connection and how our agencies were co-opted to become part of this. So it's an inside job, but it's an outside job. And as I say, my 911nwo.com website is a digital library. It's free to the public. It's a resource. I don't make any money from it. You know, I don't know how many pages, thousands of pages worth of documentation are on there. You would have to spend a few weeks to, you know, really delve into it. Anybody would. But this is, you know, if you want to know about 9/11, go to my website. So, I'll shut up there, Andy, and let you jump in. Like I said, I'd like to kind of focus in on the two main threads here. Yes, it's an Israel-Jewish job, no doubt about it. And the whole thing is organized from that point of view. It's a false flag terror, synthetic terror, state-sponsored terror, as per usual, standard operating procedure now. And it fulfills a number of major functions for the power elite. 85% of the American people do not believe the government's official conspiracy theory, which is what it is, you know, that Osama bin Laden and 19 goat herders from Saudi Arabia somehow carried out, fooled the greatest military and intelligence complex in the history of the world, you know, with box cutters on planes. And all that is a complete decoy diversion of magic trick. You know, no planes hit those buildings. And but that's part of the whole operation. And when you get to these intelligence operations that are planned for many decades, as this was, you know, they and of course they control the media. So they control the spin, they control the narrative along with it, which is why they've been so effective. And before I turn it over to you, let me just mention, I was at a little coffee shop yesterday and I picked up a copy of the Atlantic magazine, which is a, you know, reasonably well-written magazine that smart people would read. And on the front, it's September 2016, says since 9/11, the United States has spent $1 trillion to protect the homeland. The new security state is vast and growing. Big green, big letters. Are we safer? A long investigation by Stephen Brill. And then it goes through the you know, at the very beginning, it introduces it with the lies. I mean, this is so full of lies. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, you might have a 50% ratio of truth and lies in this mainstream article. This is the world we live in, Andy. It's the war on terror is a complete fraud. We've spent trillions of dollars on it. 9/11 was a complete hoax that cost trillions of dollars. And these wars, how many wars are we doing in the world now? Is it, you know, our special operations forces are doing about 134 wars all over the world, you know, and of course, gang stalking is a part of this process. This is the fourth generation warfare, revolution in military affairs, directed energy, weapons, psychotronic weapons. And this is the United States taking down the world. On whose behalf is the United States taking down the world? Well, of course, it's the bankers. It's not for the American people. American people are going broke conducting all these wars. So Christopher Bolin, who you interviewed, you know, who, you know, does pin it on Israel's Mossad and Israel and whatnot. You know, he says solving 9/11 stops the wars. I don't think so. I think that the power structure will not permit that. You know, I was protesting, and you know, right after 9/11, and we got no news coverage. We had maybe 2 million people in protesting in the big cities, 3 million in the big cities, on the just before the invasion of Iraq in 2003. It got no press. So what we have is a system which has been stolen from the American people. and it's badly broken. What are the American people going to do? I mean, I've put the facts together, but, you know, I mean, that's not going to topple the CIA and the $800 billion a year military, industrial, congressional, academic, press complex, which extends into all sectors of the American society, which is now, of course, the American empire. So we are looking at the American empire since World War II, took it over from the British Empire, but both of them, of course, co-opted by the international bankers who are, you know, fulfilling this plan to establish Jewish universal empire, Jewish utopia, you know. All I can do is, you know, what do we do, you know? We're kind of between a rock and a hard place. It's now 16 years later. The facts are there. 85% of the American people don't believe this story, just like the Kennedy assassination, which was by the same people, by the way. But where's the justice? You know, how do we get these people to court? How do we – there was no criminal investigation. Michael Chertoff, the dual Israeli-American citizen Jew – who was assistant attorney general under John Ashcroft, did not investigate the crime, which, of course, this is a huge crime, 3,000 people killed, but there was no criminal investigation. It was only a cover-up. The cover-up was set up just before, long before the event itself. So all aspects of this were planned for decades as a trigger. As a trigger to get us into these wars. And of course, now we have all these wars and the military's laughing to the bank, the big corporations, the Jews are getting their greater Israel, Eretz Israel in the Middle East, as we balkanize their neighbors into smaller pieces, as per the Yenon plan, the Oded Yenon plan. The Israeli journalist in 1982 said, hey, we've got to balkanize our neighbors so that we're the regional hegemon here. Well, that's exactly what the United States has been doing in Iraq. And the United States has probably killed 4 or 5 million people, innocent people in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, you name it, you know, all these hot wars and all these low intensity conflicts. The Special Operations Command, a guy named McGrath did an article, I've got it on my website, saying, you know, United States as of 2014 is involved in 134 wars around the world with their, you know, low intensity conflict, which is terrorism. So what we have is a war of terrorism. Terrorism is only you know, is defined as use of force or threat of force in order to obtain a political objective. Well, this is policy. This is what the United States military does. You know, this notion that you can have a war on terrorism is a form of war. Can you have a war on war? No, only if you want to have perpetual war, which is exactly what the Jewish neocons in the D.C. area and elsewhere in the United States want. I mean, this is the takedown program of the world. You know, if you want to go to the biblical analogy, you've got the Whore of Babylon, which is world Jewry, riding on the beast, which is the United States of America, where I live. According to Tex Mars, you know, the beast is going to wake up. So throw off the Whore of Babylon. I couldn't be too soon for my taste. America is completely under the Jewish control, and I see it in my little town of Crestone Baca, Colorado, highly managed. It's a very, very sad state of affairs. 16 years after 9/11, the truth is out there, but the media, of course, owned by 95% owned by worldwide, owned by six Jewish companies, lies, all lies, almost all lies, or propaganda. So this is, we're fighting a rear guard action here, Andy. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Eric. And no, tremendous information. And I agree. And the point that you made about being on a protest, I mean, this is what I say to people with these protests. The media are only going to put out material that's beneficial to their interests and beneficial to Jewish interests. So they're never, you can do these protests, but if you're not going to get any media exposure to wake up other people to, you know, 9/11 in this case, it's a pointless and fruitless task. I remember John Friend, who's got his own radio show, therealistreport.com, and he actually, he'd gone into this subject and found out about the Jews through 9/11. He started going to these 9/11 meetup groups in San Diego, I believe. And he got involved in a protest, and he stood up to speak about the Jewish connection, and he was shouted down. Why? Because all these Jews, they always infiltrate other groups, and so they can control the narrative that they put out. So all these people like 9/11, loose change, all this stuff. Well, what they were doing was, I think it was Dylan Avery, I think Jason Bernas, I think they're all Jewish, and they never told you about the Jewish involvement in 9/11. Why? Because they were financed to tell you it was all Bush Cheney, Bush Cheney, Bush Cheney. And so I commend people for standing up for their rights. I commend people for standing up for the truth. But I say to people, you know, you've got to be discriminatory in how you do it. Yeah, sorry, folks, we had our feed interfered with there. So I think I just got towards talking about Charlottesville, and Eric heard me breaking up, so I've restarted the recording. Yeah, essentially, I'm just saying to people that be very careful as to what demonstrations, etc., you get involved in, because the media are only going to want to report what's going to reflect them in a positive light. You know, they're never going to show Antifa violently assaulting white people. They're going to try and show it the other way around, or if they can't, they won't show it at all. That I firmly believe that we're going to see, I keep saying that there's going to be something major in 2017. Well, you know, what have we had so far? I mean, we've had this huge hurricane, this massive amounts of flooding in Texas. As I record this program, it's going out September the 11th. I'm reading that Hurricane Irma is supposed to be the deadliest hurricane ever, most powerful, and it's supposed to be making landfall in Florida on this day. So if that's the case, I sincerely hope all my brothers and sisters in both Florida and Texas are okay, and they're able to cope with this. And it must be so absolutely unbelievable to be faced with something like this, and, you know, lose your homes and potentially your lives, and all these things, as Eric will tell you, are engineered, because they've got control of the weather. So there's a massive attack going on at the moment, and I think that it could culminate later this year in the same way as we had the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917, we'll have the Antifa Revolution in America in 2017. And in one fell swoop, they'll say Trump is evil, he's got to go, he'll be kicked out, a deep state team will be put in, the Constitution will be ruled to be illegal, they'll get rid of all these First and Second Amendment rights. That's the way I see it happening, because they've not been able to do it any other way. And they're in such a hurry at the moment, for whatever reason, that I think that the future is very, very bleak, very, very quickly. But I've obviously diverted right off the subject there, Eric. So you were going to talk about, you had your two topics you wanted to focus on this show. Let's go through the Israeli Jewish involvement in 9/11 first. So I'll hand back to you.
Yeah, we have to understand that, you know, terrorism is a way to frighten the populations into submission. And it's been used, you know, for centuries. I mean, you know, as you probably well know better than, you know, almost is about anybody, you know, Amschel Meyer Rothschild got up there in 1773 and he said, you know, we're going to use terrorism and war to destroy these, you know, nations, and we'll put our central banks in, blah, 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 blah. That's our plan. That's the Illuminati plan of the Bavarian Illuminati. And if you know this plan as codified in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and in the Communist Manifesto and various other places, then you see it's just being implemented down the line. So let's talk a little bit about the Jewish connection here. Of course, you know, the Mossad actually was formed out of the CIA. CIA is formed out of British MI6. These are intelligence agencies that do the bidding of the power elite, the Jewish international bankers. And so they're, you know, they have bags of tricks that they operate using. And once you start to see this, then you can deconstruct these things. As I said, the Oded Yanon plan of 1982 to Balkanize Israel's neighbors was used in subsequent documents that were written by other Jews. You know, a clean break was one, and then of course the Project for a New American Century came out with their manifesto in the year 2000. These are the neoconservatives. You know, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Perle, William Kristol, Jeb Bush, Faith Ludi, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld. A lot of these are dual American and Israeli citizens. A lot of them, of course, most are Jewish. The neoconservative movement is entirely Jewish. And they're basically saying, hey, you know, we want to double the American this is in their 2000 manifesto, Rebuilding America's Defenses. We want to double the military budget of the United States because we want to be able to prosecute multiple theater wars all around the world, you know, at the same time. We need more money to do that. And the American people, they're only making $300 billion a year back then. And the American people, they thought, wouldn't go along with it absent some, you know, catastrophic catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. It says that in the document. Well, of course, the year later, almost, you know, very close to a year later, they got their new Pearl Harbor. But it was not strictly a new Pearl Harbor. Yes, it was a false flag. You know, if you I've looked at these issues, you know, OK, what brought the buildings down and with all the mechanics of it and everything, the basic three different scenarios are, you know, controlled demolition in the building, bombs, mini nukes. The Russian government says mini nukes. But I tend to, and of course, those could have been used, but I also go with Dr. Judy Wood's thesis, and she's got the qualifications to do this. She's a PhD in materials engineering and optical interferometry physics, so she knows all about directed energy weapons. She says that they were brought down by directed energy weapons. Well, that would fit because now we're in this revolution of military affairs, which, you know, you can't see these weapons that we've weaponized. Well, we've weaponized everything, but we've weaponized the electromagnetic spectrum as per Nikola Tesla. And she's got this book, Where Did the Towers Go? And again, she analyzed like over 10,000 high quality photographs and saw, you know, the actual impact of what happened at the World Trade Center. And said, this cannot be explained by normal physics. Something else is going on here. She certainly convinced me. I was able to interview her once, Andy, back in 2008. But tangentially, of course, this helped split the 9/11 truth movement, because now you have different factions saying, oh, it's, you know, in the building bombs, it's nanothermite, says Dr. Stephen Jones, blah, 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 blah. And it's directed energy weapons, says Dr. Judy Wood, and it's something else, says so-and-so. And pretty soon there are big fights, and all of this, of course, to disable, to misdirect, to neutralize the opposition. So as you say, all of these movements get heavily infiltrated. Washington, D.C. has buildings full of people who do this for a living. They want to control the opposition, which is why I was never invited to any of these 9/11 conferences. Here I was, a PhD professor at a university, and you get these yahoos invited in, you know, from Hoboken, you know, that have no qualifications, but they always avoided me. But I just kept going on my website, and there's an enormous amount of information there. And if you want it, there it is, you know.
Anyway, can I quickly ask, because you alluded to the point earlier, I think that you said that you didn't believe that there were planes that were involved. Can you just touch on that issue? Because that's another contentious issue between people. Was it planes? Was it holograms? What do you
think
it was?
Right. Yeah, this is, of course, and yeah, they do manage to get a lot of emotion and anger and fighting in there, you know, but the obvious, it's really quite obvious if you look at the evidence, you know, planes, these 747s are big planes, but, you know, they're made out of aluminum, and there's no way they can go through a steel, a concrete building, or, you know, even, you know, even 1 millimeter, you know, they would tend to crumple and fall. And so if a building had been struck by one of these planes, what you'd have, this thing would accordion and then fall flat, straight down. But of course, all of that was done by video fakery. So there were some good videos that came out called September Clues and something or else, Octopus, whatever, back in 2008 or so. And I you know, I watch them very carefully, and they make a very, very good case that this is all video fakery. In other words, someone, you know, at his workstation, his computer desk, would have a complete ability to generate images of, say, downtown Manhattan based on all of the photos that have been taken from these unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs. And so with that digital information, they could get any angle perspective, and then they could simply insert a image of a plane to go, you know, in from that angle, and then they actually didn't do a very good job. I mean, the whole operation is done in an intentionally kind of a slipshod manner. You think, oh my God, you know, did they think we're that stupid? You know, like 10 of these alleged hijackers are still alive, 10 out of 19. You know, I mean, you know, so if you look deeply at all, but see, the thing is that there's this layer of fear around this. Oh my God, you know, if the government did it, then we're in deep trouble. So people are more likely to, and then I might have to do something, you see, and I don't want to do anything. I want to just go on with my life, and I can't do anything. So therefore, I'm not going to look at it. I'm going to believe the government. And besides, they say that all the time. So in other words, Bolin's right about the fact that, yes, this is an unsolved crime. Yes, Mossad was heavily involved. And for instance, let's look at Michael Chertoff. He was the assistant attorney general under John Ashcroft. It was his job, and he's dual Israeli-American citizen Jew, whose job it was to investigate this crime. There was no investigation. In fact, the evidence was destroyed. And then Chertoff, of course, went right over to Department of Homeland Security and headed it. Oh, and by the way, Chertoff sent those 200 Israelis, including the five dancing Israelis, that the FBI had identified as potential agents associated with this crime, and he sent them home. They didn't have to answer any questions, yeah, because he's an Israeli. So there's Michael Chertoff stage managing the whole operation. This is Operation 9/11. We're dealing with an intelligence operation. It's a joint, you know, CIA, Mossad, and it's also interagency. If we go back, there are many, many agencies involved. The Air Force is probably the lead agency, but NORAD, UN, Canadian government, the New York City Fire Department, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, meanwhile, go back to Michael Chertoff. Okay, he starts Homeland Security, the largest new department ever in the history of the United States, and it comes in with, I think, 170,000 employees and a budget of over $25 billion. Now it's over a quarter million employees and a budget of, over $40 billion a year. And they have said they want to enlist 100 million American citizens as citizen spies to protect the homeland. Okay, this is exactly what the East German Stasi did. So in other words, they want a nation of spies. And this is exactly what the gang stalking is coming out of. These citizen spies are the perpetrators. They're some of the perpetrators. They're getting money for this. Our government is paying rat finks to go out and spy on their neighbors. And, you know, there are hardly any terrorists in this country. Doug Valentine's book, you know, The CIA is Organized Crime, How Illegal Operations Corrupt America and the World. He has a paragraph, I don't have it right now, but he says, well, okay, in the 10 years following 9/11, there were 500 arrests that were remotely related to terrorism, and many of those were FBI stings. You know, they entrapped these Arab people and say, okay, you're associated with this, but of course they weren't. And, you know, so almost all of these 500 arrests have nothing to do with terrorism. Your chance of being killed by a terrorist, Andy, is 1 in 20 million statistically, which is the same as being killed by your living room furniture. In other words, way less than a bee sting. In other words, the whole thing is a lie. But there's so much money now going into the national security establishment, the national security enterprise. And then let's take Michael Chertoff again. He goes over and forms the Chertoff Group. And now he's one of these contractors getting money from DHS to go out and protect the homeland. Well, what's he doing? Well, he's doing stuff like gang stalking, probably. It's the biggest con you can imagine. It's one con after another con after another con, one lie on top of another lie. So the United States is embroiled in these lies. What do you do? It's a matrix of lies. How do you bust yourself out, like punching your way out of a wet paper bag, to use an image we talked about when I was a kid? You know, you can't punch your way out of a wet paper bag. Well, how do you punch your way out of this wet paper bag of lies? Pick up a newspaper, watch the TV, lies. Atlantic Monthly, lies. Well, you know, hopefully the internet and some websites like mine can help people. But then what? You know. So I know you were going to interject, Danny. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I just was, I mean, just what you said there, your website. I mean, I can't say this enough to the audience. They'd be aware by now that my books were banned recently. You know, websites are going to be next. And so information like Eric has got, he mentioned articles. Have a real deep look around that website. I think that you said that you had over 5,000 pages or something, didn't you, Eric?
I've just threw that out as a guess, you know. But I've got, I don't know how many articles, you know, must be 100 or so, you know, many of them may be 50 pages, you know. So you know, I don't know. You check out that website and see how much is on there. You'll be surprised.
Well, I mean, exactly. I think that what the listeners need to do is, if there are particular articles that they like, you can actually save it as a proper archive file rather than just save the link. And then you'd still open it up in your browser of choice, but you've got to make sure you save it as a complete archive. And that way, if a site gets taken down, you've still got the information. So that's something that they should do. And all the shows, like I say, don't rely on them, you know, just going into the website and just playing them off the website. Make sure you download them and have your own copies, because, I mean, look at what they've come after this year. It's just amazing. And they never go backwards. They always go forwards. So they're going to keep going, folks, and trying to silence people. Because,
well, it could be that you're right, that America is on its way down. And it's the Phoenix program, of course, has been implemented here. That's part of the global gang stalking thing. And that was the takedown of the domestic population in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. It has been applied here now. So we're dealing with mind control, Monarch program, MKUltra, of the American people. It's a psyop. It's a mind control. It's trauma-based mind control. We're also dealing with you know, the structure of the Phoenix program imposed by Department of Homeland Security. That's what DHS is, according to Doug Valentine. It is the American coming home to roost of the Phoenix program that the United States did in the Vietnam War to neutralize and take down the domestic population of the of Vietnam, which, of course, didn't want to be invaded and occupied. So again, these, you know, again, if we look at a historical perspective, this is getting United States is in deep trouble. You might be right. I don't know about the timing of it. I do feel like something like the Bolshevik Revolution could well happen here. Again, look at the major players of the Bolshevik Revolution. They're Jews. Same thing's very, very possible here any day.
Well, I agree with you, Eric. And there's other things going on. And as we're, you know, a lot closer to broadcast date between recording and broadcast, we can talk about issues such as North Korea is something else that's being floated out there. And bearing in mind, you referenced Pearl Harbor and, of course, that document, the new Pearl Harbor. Well, we know that in Pearl Harbor, they essentially, you know, allowed the attack to take place. Certainly, I've had Admiral Kimmel's grandson on the program to talk about that. And so, you know, they could attack Guam themselves, the Americans, and say the North Koreans did it, and then they could set a nuclear bomb weapon into America themselves and say the North Koreans fired it. It could get that crazy, folks, because these people are insane. Jesus Christ said that they were of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. And it seems to be a complete litany of mayhem, death and destruction. So what are your thoughts on this this situation there? I hear so many stories as, you know, first this Kim Jong-un has got no weapons capable of reaching America. Now apparently he's further ahead on his program than they thought, and he can reach America, he can reach Europe. The mainstream media are putting this out more than the alternative, but that can also tell you that they're prepping us for something. And I've heard on other shows that Fukushima has done so much damage to the planet that, you know, even a mainstream news article, it talked about how you never get gnats on your windscreen. You know, throughout the summer, you generally have to keep cleaning your windscreen to get all these gnats that have hit that and your radiator grill and what have you. But it's not happening so much now because they're not around. And I've been hearing people say that this Fukushima has basically affected the whole world, and it's affected wildlife throughout the whole world. And so if they can do some sort of nuclear thing and then say that that's what caused the nuclear fallout rather than Fukushima. But then I have the question, well, why would they, what have they got to lose? Why can't they just say, well, you know, that Fukushima accident happened and that's what's caused it. Are they worried then that they'll have to take down all their nuclear power facilities? Do you see what I mean? So I question why they want to make the excuse, unless, of course, they don't want to close down the nuclear power facilities that they'd be pressurised to doing to prevent another Fukushima disaster. How do you think all that ties together? Is any of this relevant, or is it just a red herring?
I think these things are mostly red herrings. The exact, you know, the North Korea thing. I mean, this is a very, very small nation, and it's a sideshow, and trying to build up fear, you know, to look the wrong way as usual. You know, I even had somebody who I was talking to about the gang stalking who believes that the entire populace of North Korea is mind controlled to a very deep extent. So, you know, you have to peel back many, many layers of deception to get to the truth and, you know, get us all looking the wrong way. And this is what the media is very good at. But if we can go back to 9/11 here, Andy, I wanted to finish with the Jewish side before I got into the American side of this operation. And one, you know, we talked about the PNAC, the scripting this thing. That's a neoconservative Jewish group with dual Israeli-American citizens. We talked about Michael Chertoff, who's also the same, who's profiting from this. Now, one of the many, many in the private sector profiting from this terrorism fraud. And then if we look, I'll give you one more example. Alvin K. Hellerstein, this is part of managing the whole operation, as the judge who managed to get all 3,000 of the families of the victims to settle out of court. Okay, he's Jewish. And so there never will be a trial, which, of course, if there was a trial, then you could say, well, let's look at the evidence and let's, you know, let's cross-examine this person and that person. So here's the, you know, the seminal event supposedly of the 21st century. There's never been a court trial. And so that's how much control these people have. You know, again, there were, well, perhaps people recall that Donald Rumsfeld, the day before September 10th, and he's crypto-Jewish, Rumsfeld, a German Jewish name, you know, he said, oh, well, gee, we're missing $2.6 trillion, you know, in the Pentagon. Gee, I don't know where it is. You know, Dov Zakheim, who is our comptroller, who, by the way, is also Jewish and a rabbi, he's, you know, he's trying to hire some CPAs. So we can find out, you know, what happened to the, you know, I mean, okay, $2 trillion. Well, that's probably what it costs to do the operation, you know, or at least a big chunk of that. And then in 2014, the figure had gone up to $8.4 trillion. We just can't find it. $8.4 trillion the Pentagon is missing. Well, that probably a lot of that went into the gang stalking and all these, you know, low intensity conflicts all over the world that are being run off the books. You know, these can be running by all kinds of private agencies and even mafia type criminal agencies, organized crime. So we have a, you know, a Frankenstein's monster that we have created. And of course, war has always been a racket, but now never more so. Okay, so now, if you don't mind, Andy, okay, the Jewish side is paramount, and of course, cui bono, well, the state of Israel, because we're doing their foreign policy for them with all these wars. We're giving them their Eretz Israel, which they want. We've got this special relationship where we funnel all kinds of billions of dollars of aid to them, and they can do what they want. So, cui bono from this, only the corporations in Israel. United States people, the American government, everything has suffered tremendously from this Operation 9/11. But there's a guy named Webster Tarpley, PhD in economic history, I believe, wrote a book called 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. And he's got five editions out on his book. And the fifth one, he gets news articles of all of the military drills that were going on the day of and leading up to 9/11. And on the fifth edition, he comes up with 46 drills that were carried out by the military that mimicked every single aspect of the 9/11 operation. And of course, this is what happened at the 7/7 bombings in London. You had a private agency there that was doing a drill, and it just happened to go live. All of a sudden, they're doing a drill, and then somebody up at the top says, okay, let's make it real. And now it's real, and real people are being killed. And that's exactly what happened on the day of 9/11. And there's some very interesting implications to this. Who's involved? Well, NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, was doing drills. NEADS, Northeastern Air Defense Sector. SEADS, Southeast Air Defense Sector. All this to get those planes flying around, you know, and confuse everybody. STRATCOM, U.S. Strategic Command, was involved. Air Force was probably the lead agency on this. AWACS, Air Warning and Control System, Air Combat Command, U.S. Space Command, U.S. SOCOM, Special Operations Command, U.S. CENTCOM, U.S. JFCOM, U.S. Joint Forces Command, FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, FBI, New York Office of Emergency Management, New York Police and Fire Departments, FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, Coast Guard, Army, Navy, U.S. Department of Transportation, U.S. Air Force Bases, Andrews Air Force Base, Nellis Air Force Base, Nevada, Ofoda Air Force Base, Nebraska, Barksdale Air Force Base, Minot Air Force Base, Whiteman Air Force Base, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. You get the idea. New York City, Fort Miami-Dade County Police Department, Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado is where we have the underground bunker, and 55 other unnamed agencies. So this was – all these drills were being carried out by all these different agencies and coordinated in such a manner that the American people were fooled. So this is part an essential part of Operation 9/11. So, you know, I mean, these guys are all complicit in the deaths of 3,000. And yet, since these are all chain of command structures – you know, people are following orders. Oh, yes, sir, I'll fly my plane over to Canada, and then I won't be anywhere near the airspace over the Northeast, so I can't scramble. But, of course, again, all the jets and everything, all that was a big diversion. So according to Tarpley then, and he's listed these drills and got all names for them and everything, all of this is part of the false flag, state-sponsored, synthetic terrorist attacks made in the USA to terrorize the American people and the world. So, again, this is a very, very expensive and complex operation. Now, there's some very interesting little points that came out of this analysis that Tarpley did. The U.S. military secretly threatened to unleash its nuclear weapons against Russia and China on the morning of, in order to intimidate these nations so that they would not retaliate for our invasions of Afghanistan and Pakistan, which we were set to do because these plans were on the drawing board. We're gonna finger Osama bin Laden as the enemy. That was said within 45 minutes of the attacks. And we're going to go after him in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And so there was the nuclear blackmail right there up front, even before the event. And now this is, I think, incredibly important. Some of the drills on September 11th involved actual implementation. I'm going to say this slowly so everybody can understand it. Implementation of continuity of government protocols and procedures. This is the first and only time in history when actual control of the U.S. government went into Cheyenne Mountain, NORAD, which is the bunker 90 miles from where I live in Colorado. They were in control of the operation. The government of the United States was transferred over to continuity of government, military government. This is exactly what will happen, Andy, when they impose martial law based on some other contrived event. But this was a drill. This was a drill for – the implementation of COG, continuity of government, which is what we would expect in a situation of martial law. So we can speculate then that 9/11 itself functioned as a drill for ushering in this continuity of government and military dictatorship in response to an even larger future, probably contrived, almost certainly contrived, false flag, state-sponsored, synthetic terrorist attack against the United States. As you say, they could set off a nuclear bomb anywhere and all of a sudden declare emergency, we're in martial law, continuity of government, you don't have any rights. Stay in your house or else we'll shoot you or whatever. You know, these plans have been on the books since Operation Rex in the 80s. And going back to Garden Plot back in the 60s, all of these plans for martial law have been very, very methodically laid out. And there's a whole history of all these presidential executive orders saying in the event of this, then, you know, this is, you know, we take over completely. So, you can't say it's all Israel. I mean, you know, maybe it's coming from Israel at the managerial level, you know, and the funding perhaps coming from this, you know, City of London, Wall Street, the Rothschilds, whatever. But it's much more complex. It's the interagency. All these agencies are coordinated somehow. So this is an extremely complex operation.
And also, Eric, you know, you talked about martial law and what have you. Well, these FEMA camps that basically resemble the camps the German prisoners of war were ushered into after World War II, which was basically a field surrounded by barbed wire with no sanitation facilities and millions of them died. They're very similar to that. They're just in the middle of nowhere. They're just fenced off. There's no sort of living quarters that you can see. It's just open FEMA camps. And they don't set these up for no purpose. They obviously plan to use them at some stage. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's over 800 of these FEMA camps. And, you know, when they were doing the Jade Helm drills, you know, a couple of years ago, 2015 and 2016, UX, Unconventional Warfare Exercise 2016, they were you know, prepping to use these empty Walmarts as well. You know, all of a sudden you saw a lot of closing of Walmarts, and then you get this huge space, you just throw people in there. So, yeah, this is... The takedown of America has been planned for a long, long time. In fact, that's what the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations has always been about. You know, and they were founded right at World War One. You know, 1921, the end of World War One. And of course, they're all staffed by these Jewish psychologists like Sigmund Freud and Edward Bernays, his nephew, and you know Kurt Lewin and the Frankfurt School. So you get these you know, convergence of themes. And so what we've seen is then the systematic incremental destruction of the United States as we outsource industry, as we outsource manufacturing, as we disable farming, you know, over the decades, as we outsource our corporations, as they stop paying taxes, blah, 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 blah. So as this population is dumbed down. So it is a multiple pronged strategy to take down America, which is very interesting because, of course, America is doing their bidding. We're conquering the world for them. But they're going to thank us, I think, in the way that, you know, they thank the Russian people in the Bolshevik Revolution. In other words, terror and horror. We have some, you know, there's some immediacy. There's some imperative to expose these arch psychopath criminals, you know, Dick Cheney, George Bush, Michael Chertoff, John Ashcroft, Mueller, joint heads of, you know, the joint chiefs of staff. These people are criminals. These are the people that presided over 9/11 and that presided all over all these wars, you know, in the Middle East that killed, you know, millions of people. America has been duped, and we are being duped on a daily basis. And of course, the gang stalking is now on my radar, and I've got another website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which really grows out of this 911nwo.com website.
Yes, it's just basically a war on the world, you know, a war on your own people, a war on people of other countries. And of course, they like to get as much mileage out of an event as they can. You talked earlier about the Oded Yinon plan. Of course, this Greater Israel and the balkanization and destabilization of countries around them also creates refugees that they can then throw into the white countries that they don't like to destabilize those countries. In the same way, in 9/11, we had all the shenanigans going on with the, you know, the insider trading, the put options being bought beforehand. So all the people that knew beforehand, how about Larry Silverstein, old Lucky Larry, who managed to double the insurance on the buildings and insure them as two separate entities a few months before the event. You know, what a lucky Jew. I mean, it's...
And let me just pause there, if you don't mind, Andy. I mean, this guy, Larry Silverstein, who acquired most of the World Trade Center just a couple months before the event and then insured it heavily against terrorist attack, he talked good friends with Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, and talked with him every Sunday for years. So you can imagine this thing being in the works for years. He bought the complex from two other Jews. So, you know, there's the managerial level of this operation, which is, as Christopher Boland says, you find Jews and Israeli Mossad and Sayanim, who are the Jewish secret agents, involved at every single stage of this operation. So, Larry Silverstein probably paid less than $50 million for the thing and of his own money, and then got other people to contribute. And then he made like $4.5 billion on the insurance, saying it's a terrorist attack. Well, I mean, that's a fraud too, because the whole thing is an operation carried out by the CIA and the Mossad and all these other interagency groups. And the planes never hit the buildings. This is where I disagree with Christopher Boland. Christopher Boland thinks it was nanothermite that did it. I think it was really directed energy weapons. I think it was the unveiling of this radical new weapon system, which is actually potentially greater than nuclear weapons, and that intelligence agencies around the world would have picked up on this, saying, oh, wow, you know, they could take down anything, anywhere, anytime with this new weapon system, directed energy weapons. So what we have is a ruling elite that has weaponized everything. I mean, it's also free energy that, you know, that could be used to help mankind. No more poverty, free energy. Can you imagine? But no, we're going to weaponize it, and we're going to kill 85% of the world's population. That's the plan of the United Nations at the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, because we're destroying the Earth. Well, nonsense. This is another big lie. So again, you have to learn how to see through the cover stories, which is what the intelligence agencies make, to the real story. But it takes practice. I mean, I'm 68 years old, and I've been looking at these things. I was 14 when Kennedy was assassinated. I was at his funeral. You know, it was one of the most depressing moments of my life. You know, I mean, this was another trauma-based mind control operation by the CIA and the Mossad, a coup, an overthrow of the government. And Israel, of course, made big inroads at that one. And then again, 9/11, another one. So, I've been watching these things. I was looking at the Washington Post every morning after Kennedy was assassinated. And I saw, oh, well, this person is supposed to testify at the trial next Monday. Oh, gosh, he died of a heart attack on Sunday. Or this person, you know, I mean, you know, 50 people were offed in this manner, you know, or more, maybe 100. So, in other words, these are unsolved crimes, and we need to figure out how to restore law and order to our nation, because it's way, way beyond out of control now.
Yes, it is. And we've got how long have we got left, because we had that interruption? I think we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. So I'll hand back to you for anything else that you'd like to say about 9/11. The only thing that comes to mind quickly, if you do want to mention it and you've done any research on it, wasn't it interesting how JF Kennedy Jr. Supposedly died in his private plane crash when it was looking like he was going to run for office? You have to ask yourself that if he had ever been successful, would he have actually brought out the truth about his father's murder?
Sure. Yeah. RFK, JFK, and the son, all actually associated with murders. The Bush family was very much involved in all of those, at least the father and the son. But let me, if you don't mind, Andy, I'll just go ahead and I put together a short list of similarities between Operation 9/11 and the global gang stalking operations that we've been talking about in the last couple sessions. They are both multi-trillion-dollar ongoing unsolved unpunished crimes, first of all, that involve mass murder, theft, felony criminalization of all sectors of society. Again, Pentagon couldn't find $2.6 trillion on September 10th. And in 2013, that number was up to $8.4 trillion. They're both covert military intelligence, psychological and political operations. They both utilize the principles of trauma-based mind control, which based on satanic ritual abuse, which is imposed on the public mind and individuals. They are both civil military operations, which is a definition of fourth generation warfare, revolution in military affairs, terrorism, really, low intensity conflict. We call it counterterrorism, but it's same as terrorism. It's also asymmetric warfare, unconventional warfare, military operations other than war. This is what our military does with our, this is the new kind of warfare. And so this is what that all that money's going to. But it's also now roping in the corporations big time, the state, federal and local police, NGOs, private groups, citizen volunteers. Again, all of these meet the definition of terrorism, the use of violence to accomplish a political objective, which is to terrorize the public into submission. Both utilize exotic weaponry, what we call directed energy weapons, electronic weapons, psychotronic weapons. Sometimes they're called non-lethal weapons, but they can be very lethal if they're tuned up. The cover-up of both crimes involves heavy infiltration of truth movements by the perpetrators, spies, agents, such as we're talking about in the 9-1-1 truth movement, and misdirection of those movements and ultimately destruction of those movements. Lenin said, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves, and that's what they do. They get their people in to lead and misdirect these truth movements. So then the legitimate researchers are stymied and confused by these very sophisticated psyops and disinformation campaigns. The truth movements tend to dissipate then due to this infiltrating and the infighting, et cetera, provocations that are set up. Then again, both operations, I think, are heavily due to Israeli Mossad, Jewish Sionim, essentially involved in these crimes and cover-ups because Israel and world Judaism has a plan. And they are the beneficiaries of both of these operations. And their plan, of course, is world conquest and ushering in their Antichrist kingdom, also known as the Jewish Universal Empire, the rebuilding of Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem, which, of course, is the Masonic goal historically. Jewish utopia is established, that is, reduce the population of non-Jews. Jews now have everything because they're the only real people. Everybody else is a cattle or a beast, according to them. And they call it in their Hebrew term, tikkun olam, reinventing or repairing the world. So these are both satanically inspired from the get-go. They are using, again, the satanic ritual abuse in the trauma-based mind control operations. The so-called Jewish Messiah is supposed to get rolled out here pretty quick. And, of course, this is the Christian Antichrist. Now, if we go back to one aspect of the operation in 9-1-1 we didn't talk about was all the Masonic symbology. Enormous. There's a couple books about this, like The Most Dangerous Book in the World by J.K. Bain. They actually took pictures of images of the devil in the smoke on the smoking towers. And so then the question is, well, is that really the devil or is that, another photoshopped psyop? But the symbology of the whole thing was the devil was let loose into the world on 9/11. And now, this all moves then towards the progressive implementation of the satanic kingdom on earth, which, of course, is the Jewish utopia. Both of these crimes then are unsolved and unpunished. And the fact that these are unsolved and unpunished, this in fact corrupts and criminalizes and satanizes the entire American society, the citizens of America and the world, all aspects of society. And all of these operations based on terror, deception, manipulation, and mind control. That's what I wanted to throw out there at the end, Andy, that these things are related. I mean, these are the same operatives doing a plan. And you know that this was formulated back in, you know, the Bavarian Illuminati back in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt for Amschel, Meyer Rothschild, and the Sanhedrin, the Committee of 300. And, it, you know, they've done this now for the last 250 years or so. And they're very close to success. And this is how they're doing it.
Thank you very much, Eric. You're a fountain of knowledge, as always. And I'd like to dedicate this show to all the people that have died during that event, or have suffered since, or have died or suffered due to events that have happened since, based upon, 9/11, all these wars, etc. you were talking about. And lastly, I just want to say to... all the people in Texas and in Florida, I hope that you're all okay. I know a lot of I have some listeners that write to me from there. I've had some guests from there, and we're all the same European heritage people, and I care about my brothers and sisters all across the world. So Eric, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Andy.
Excellent. Right, well, I want to thank everyone for listening. I'll be back with you all soon, and bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.